Greetings to all of God's people. This is Mordecai Joseph, and we are today in lesson 139. And we're back to Genesis in chapter 17. Let's review this chapter about the circumcision and a few points that may be more clearly made now. And in chapter 17, basically, this is the chapter of the covenants, where God is making a covenant with Abraham. Before that, he was talking about promises. Now he's talking about the major covenant. There were many other covenants. This is the major one with an everlasting, that is, eternal consequences. And so the first thing he tells him, that when he was 99, in verse 1, it says that, and when Abraham was 99 old, the Lord, that is the eternal, appeared to Abraham. And whether it was in person or in a vision, we don't know. Probably it was in person, as it did several times before that. And he appeared before him and he told him, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. And we explain what El Shaddai means. It does not mean Almighty. It means the God of my sustenance, my nourishment. And he said, therefore, in other words, since I am the God Almighty, you walk before me. And be you wholehearted. So this is the first condition to coming before God and becoming a partaker of the promises of Abraham for every single one of us. That was the first condition that God gave Abraham. All that I'm going to give you now with eternal consequences demands first. Some people think, well, come as you are. I live by grace. I live by faith alone and all that. I don't need to do anything. He says, no, you be wholehearted. You cannot be wholehearted when you're double-minded. On one hand, you say, I love God. On the other hand, you say, I hate His law. And therefore, you're not willing to do the law of God and be obedient to the law of God. And some people say, well, you know, we don't believe in works. We just are saved by grace. Of course, we're saved by grace. All our works, you know, would do nothing. But on the other hand, God gives us a condition always. You want my grace? Do works. Be wholehearted. Obey my will. Fulfill my covenant. Obey my law. You see? You've got to put the whole thing together. You know, the double-minded people, they don't think that way. And so he said, you do that. Verse 2. In other words, it's an if. If you do that, and there is a condition here, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. And so God is now going to make a point here, as he gives him later on the covenant of the circumcision. Not only you are going to be circumcised, but everyone that comes out of you and everybody that is going to be a part of that covenant. And since you're going to be a father of many nations, literally, in the sense of the physical seed, as later on the story develops, we read about the fact that Abraham had more than just one son that God gave him. He also had other sons. Obviously, they were not children of promise, and so they were not in the major category of the covenant and the promises, but yet they were his children. They were part of the promise, or the first promise, that he's going to multiply him exceedingly. And he was not talking about through Isaac. You see, he was talking about through all of his sons, that he was going to multiply them exceedingly. And all of them, God made it very plain as the chapter develops, that he wanted all of them. If they are to be partakers of these blessings, they will have to be circumcised. And that's again, as we explained the last few lessons, because of the spiritual connotation of what the physical circumcision is all about. And so this is what we read here. And then in verse 5, it says, neither shall your name be called Abram. You know, Abram means exalted father, but your name shall be Abraham. That means a father of multitude of nations. And he says, I have made you that way. In verse 6, and I will make you exceedingly, or that is exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. So he's repeating this theme of the multiplication of seed that will come out of Abraham. And later on, he will make still the covenant that all of them will have to be followers of the faith of Abraham. And to the degree that they would be in this lifetime, in their lifetime, in their generations, obviously would be blessed. And to the degree they don't, they are going to be cursed. He's not a respecter of person. You know, he's the same with his own people Israel. And so he said, verse 7, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant." Now here in specific speaking about his own promised son later on, that was born Isaac, and then Jacob, and all their descendants. But then the overall covenant that he gave him to begin with was not only the specific one, the child of promise, but all those that would come out of his body, and therefore he demanded from all of them to fulfill that condition, which became the seal of righteousness of Abraham. And then we read in again in verse 7, he's going to be with them. He's going to make a covenant between him and Abraham and between his seed that will come after them and between every single generation. So the covenant is on a generational basis, and it's going to be an eternal covenant. And what is it? To be a God unto you and to your seed after you, to be an Elohim. And that means more than just to be your God, but the ultimate words, that you will be in my family. And so that ultimately is also the blessing and the fulfillment of the covenant, not only to Abraham, but to all those who would follow in his footsteps on an eternal basis. All of them will finally become not only the household of Abraham, but all of them will become the household of God and his family. And so there are eternal implications here to begin with. And of course, as the story develops, more details are given. And so in verse 8 we read, "And I will give unto you and to your seed after you the land of your sojourning, the land of Canaan." So now it's a specific one. That was only the beginning of it. And that's going to be for an everlasting possession. "And I will be their God. I will be their Elohim." In other words, even that part of the covenant was just the beginning of it. It began with the land of Canaan. Then the seed was going to spread all around the earth. And then ultimately the whole universe. And then in verse 9, "And God said unto Abraham, and as for you," that is you, Abraham, "you shall keep my covenant." Now he's going to talk about another covenant. And yet it is within the overall covenant. In other words, there is the primary covenant, and then within it there are several covenants, and they're all components of the same overall covenant. You see? And so ultimately, even though Israel was going to be the wife of God and the bride, Israel is going to have children from that marriage. And the children will be all the children of Abraham in the flesh that came out of his body, and then all the rest of the nations of the earth, all will become the children, and so ultimately all of them will be in the family of God. So even though it started specifically with one family, the intent of that relationship with that family, with the one that became the Savior of mankind, and remember, he became the Savior of mankind, not just of Israel, was so that all of them ultimately would become a part of the overall family of Elohim, of the Eternal. And so the eternal implications is for all of them. And therefore, with that in mind, he's going to introduce this covenant and to whom it is applicable. And this is what people forget because they go directly to the New Testament and they don't get the whole picture there, and they don't know the background, they don't know what the apostles were talking about, and they don't know the circumstances, and they don't know the implications in their full meaning. They just know partially on a temporary basis. And so he's saying here, now we're going to talk about a specific covenant. In verse 10, he says, "This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you." Now the seed of Abraham, as I said, many nations. You see? And not only many nations that are going to come out of his own body, which was specifically the beginning, but ultimately all the other nations of the earth who are going to be children of the faith. You see? And therefore children of the faith, they too will have to come under the covenant and the conditions of the covenant, so total obedience to God and everything that he says. Now, the timing was a different story. Here it is. Abraham is 99. And yet God already had in mind from the time that he called him to give him all these things. And yet, when he came to the land of Canaan, he was 75, but this is not the time when God called him. God called him long, long before that, when he and his family were still in Ur of the Chaldean. And as soon as he called him at that point, he and his family and his father mainly, it says, as we read in chapter 11, his father, we don't know the details, but obviously his father heard about what God told Abraham, and he said, well, we're all going. And they all went, left Ur of the Chaldean, and went to Haran, because God was not interested in all of them coming to the land of Canaan, so they stayed there. How many years? We don't know. So in essence, from the time that God dealt with him on a personal basis from the first calling, it was not more only 25 years, 25 years only from the time that he came into the land, but it was an extended period of time, maybe another 5 or 10 or 20 years, we don't know. But now, this is what God tells him, to him and to all of his seed. And his seed are in the millions, and the hundreds of millions, as time goes by, in terms of those that came directly out of his own body, from the promised child and all the other children, and then all the nations of the earth will become his children. You see the application there. When you begin the story from the beginning, then you begin to understand what is really happening later on. And so this is what he's saying here. My covenant, you shall keep between me and you, and your seed after you, all of them. Every male, not some of them, every single one of them, every male among you shall be circumcised. And it shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And anybody who wants to be a part of the covenant and receive the promises must fulfill this condition. Now, the timing became the issue, not whether they should do it or not. You see, and this is what some people did not understand, with the issue of the circumcision in, when the apostles had to deal with it, especially the apostle Paul. It was not talking about circumcision, it was talking about the issue of the timing. It was talking about what comes first, the heart or the flesh? What do you emphasize at this point? You see, and that's why he dealt with it in this manner, knowing all the scriptures, knowing all that God said about it. He was not about to contradict God and totally forget all about it. He says, forget about what God said, he changed his mind. He was not doing any of that. And if you don't understand the whole thing, if you don't understand the whole issue, you just don't get it properly, and you get mixed up. That's how false doctrines come about, partial in understanding. And so he says, you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. And I explained earlier, we explained the meaning for it, the spiritual connotation. There is a foreskin that was on the head of Moses in terms of the veil that he had to put on his head because of the light. And Israel didn't want to come to the light. And then also the symbolic foreskin that is on the heart. And that's the reason why God chose that part of the anatomy of the male penis and the foreskin that is, he's the one that designed it to begin with that purpose in mind. So you have to look at it from that point of view. It's not just one day God woke up and said, well, that's a good idea, let's do that. Everything is planned in the plan of God from beginning until the end. And so he says, this shall be a token between me, that is token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old, see, this is the timing now for those who are beginning from the beginning. Of course, for Abraham, he's too late for him. He's already 99. And his son, Ishmael, is 13. So those were exceptions, which made it very plain also in terms of the future. All those who will come later on, not when they are 8 days old, in other words, they were not born into the faith, those who will come later on, at whatever age they are, and whatever time God decides, now you do it, you see, then you do it. And that's all a part of the covenant. And so even from the beginning of time, you see that not everybody is circumcised on the 8th day, again, because of circumstances. And even the children of Israel, some of them were 40 years old. And some were a few months old, a few years old, when they were baptized, that is, when they were circumcised by Joshua. And so the precedence has been set from the beginning of time For those who are 8 days old, if they happen to be born, that was Isaac. For those who are 13, or any given age, or 99, all of them must be, regardless of age, when God says, that's the time to do it. And God is the one that brings it to pass. And it's not up to man to decide what age anybody should do it. You know, it's a personal relationship between man and God. And verse 12, it said, he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised. This is the rule of thumb. Among you, every male throughout your generations. And again, he's talking about all the seed of Abraham and all the multitude of nations that will come out of him. He's not talking only about one person. You see? For Isaac, it happened to be 8 days old because he was not born yet. And so he said, all of them, every male, in verse 12, every male throughout your generations, and now he's going to specify who is that every male. Not only the son of Abraham, or not only the son of promise, but everyone. Everyone that is born in the house, you see, God does not allow an uncircumcised in the household of faith, or bought with money of any foreigner at any given time, and regardless of how old that person is. And in other words, it's now applicable to everybody. Everybody that is going to come to the house of Abraham, to the commonwealth of Israel later on. And so he said, he that is born in the house and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. At what point do you think when God says it's going to be for eternity, at what point do you think he changed his mind? God doesn't change. Not that something like that is extremely important. That means so much. You see? So you think that Paul was coming and making a change there on his own? You think the apostles went along with it? Just like that? They'll all be rebels if they've done that. So you have to understand what was really happening there. And we have explained that thoroughly. And so he says, every single one of them must do it. It's going to be an everlasting covenant. As long as human beings are human beings, and as long as they come to the faith of Abraham at any given age, they must do it. You see, the circumcision must be done. Now the issue comes based on circumstances. When? Well, that was a different story. When? And that's why you see already precedents there in the past. Abraham, he was 99. Ishmael was 39. Was 13. The children of Israel that came out of the wilderness, they range from 0 to 40 years old when they did it. You see? That was a different issue. And so in essence, that was exactly also the same that the apostles were dealing with. The timing. Later on. First, work on the heart. You see? Then is the seal of righteousness. When they're ready, when they're being moved, you see? Then it's between them and God. Verse 14, he says, and he makes it very plain. For Abraham, and for all the generations to come, and for all those who are going to become a part of the household of Abraham. He says, and the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that soul shall be cut off from his people. Why? Because he's broken my covenant. You see how severely God looked upon that? So I have to ask yourself, at what point do you think God is going to change his mind? You know, he didn't grow up senile one day and said, well, I don't know, I can't remember what I said back there. You know, I don't know, who cares? It's not important, you see? That's the way God presents, that's the way people present God when they're blind and ignorant and they don't understand what they're reading. You know, an old fogey who doesn't remember what he said in the old days, or he just said, well, I really didn't mean it for everybody. You see, that's blasphemy against God. And too many of us, you know, if we're not careful, this is exactly what we are doing, especially rebel-minded, you know, people who said, I don't care, I don't want to do it, it's not for me, I'm spiritual, and so forth. We have to study the whole thing, and with the spirit of humility and meekness and humbleness, allow, in other words, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, to illuminate us and to allow us, to help us to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. So we know the will of God. We must learn always and understand and comprehend what is the will of God in every detail. And this is not a little detail here. You see, when God wants you, is going to cut you off, if you don't do it, that's not a little detail. That's a major, major aspect of the faith, of the covenant, of obedience to God, of walking with God, of knowing the will of God and doing it, of fulfilling His pleasure. And He made it plain throughout the entirety of the Scriptures. And so we have to understand it properly. And into the millennium, He made it very plain what He feels about it. So there has never been any change. The people that thought there was a change are the people that said, well, the law is done away with, and we've got a new God and a new religion, and a new this and a new that. And Paul called them the mystery of iniquity, and we should not be a part of it, and that's why God tells us, come out of Babylon. People were confused. You should not be a part of it. And so he said very plainly in verse 14, and the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that soul shall be cut off from his people, because he broke my covenant. And earlier, he already made it plain. Who is that male? Anybody who is a part of the household of Abraham, or the faith of Abraham, of anybody who is going to be partaker of the covenants of Abraham. And it's for that reason that later on, Paul told the Gentiles. And he said it in different places, in different ways. To the Philippians, I believe, or was that the Ephesians? I can't remember now. Well, he said, in time past, you were Gentiles, you were cut off. I believe it is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, somewhere there. He said, you were cut off. You see, because that's what God said. The person who does not get circumcised is going to be cut off from his people. He said, you were cut off from God. You had no hope, no Savior, no God, no covenant. You were not a partaker of the promises. You were not a part of the commonwealth of Israel. You see, all that is because of the circumcision or uncircumcision. And even the children of Israel, when they become, though they physically are circumcised, when they are uncircumcised in their heart, when they are disobedient to God, they too become cut off. And that's what God, when He came in the flesh, told His own people. Were rebellious. Not all of them, the few that were. He said, people are going to come from the east and the west, but you are going to be thrown, into outer darkness. Why? Because you are uncircumcised in the heart. And therefore, you are going to be cut off. See, God never deviated from that. And then He's telling him, in verse 15, and Elohim said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, Sarai means my princess. You shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah, princess. You shall call her. And this is what her name is going to be. And I will bless her. And moreover, I will give you a son of her. So he's the only one in the family of Abraham that was 8 days old when he was circumcised. Because when God gave this covenant, he was not born yet. As for the others, they were already alive. Well, whatever given age, son... of Abraham physically or spiritually is, that's when the covenant is upon him. And of course, the timing issue is already there. And so he said, I'm going to bless her, she's going to be a mother of nations. Now these are the nations that he's speaking specifically that will come out of Isaac. But then even Isaac himself had two sons. He had Jacob and he had Esau. You see? And Esau had many nations that came out of him. And yet they were not the specific people of God, though they were children of the Son of Promise. You see? But regardless, everyone that came out of the bowels of Abraham, and his sons, and all those that become partakers of the household of Abraham, and then later on his land, and therefore his land, since it's going to be later on in its ultimate, the entirety of the earth, and then in its ultimate purpose, the whole universe, all of them will have to come under the same condition. And the timing would be the issue then. And the circumstances. And then Abraham fell on his face and he laughed. Of course, it was a difficult thing to understand, to believe for him at the time. Even though he was the father of the faithful, he was 99. And his wife was already 90 years old. And yet, she would have realized that with God, it doesn't make any difference. You see? And same thing with circumcision. It shouldn't make any difference how old you are. When God is going to bless you, it doesn't make any difference how old you are. And when God commands you to do certain things, it doesn't matter how old you are. You know, it goes both ways. And so he said, no. And then verse 19, you know, you must be old. You know, you are old, yes, but don't worry about not having children, because Sarah, your wife, is going to give you a son, and his name shall be Isaac, and I'm going to establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and for his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. And you see how God is regarding Ishmael. Ishmael is a part of the household of Abraham. Ishmael is going to be blessed. Ishmael is a part of the overall covenant. Ishmael is a part of the ultimate covenant. We all become sons of God. You see, and so would Esau, and so would everybody that is going to come into the household of Abraham, become a part, commonwealth later on, become known as the commonwealth of Israel, and member of the faithful, of the faith of Abraham. So you have the specific one, the household of Israel, then you have the overall, the faithful of the house of Abraham. You see? All of them must fulfill the same conditions. And so Ishmael was going to be blessed again based on obedience also. You cannot be a rebel rouser and go against God all the time and expect to have these blessings. And that's the reason also for the circumcision. It's a seal of righteousness. It shouldn't be an empty ceremony. You see? It should mean an awful lot. It should mean an acknowledgement. I am willing to obey God, to obey His law. You see? And this is just symbolic of it. You know, not just because, you know, I was 8 days old, I didn't know what was happening, and I got circumcised. Well, it's not my fault. You know, I'm not obligated to keep the law of God. Or I was older, you know. Nobody ever told me. You see? Nobody ever circumcised me, so, you know, He cannot hold it against me, and therefore He shouldn't be asked to do it. You see? Well, with God doesn't work like that. We cannot be devious with God and play games and be double-minded and try to sneak around, you know, like lawyers trying to sneak around, you know, the Constitution. And that's their main job. Look for all the loopholes why they shouldn't obey, you know, the law, and try to get away with it. It doesn't work like that with God. And so Ishmael is going to be blessed. He's going to be fruitful. He's going to be multiplied. He's going to be multiplied exceedingly. You see? And this is not a son of Abraham in terms of the children of the promise. And he's not a part of the commonwealth of Israel. That didn't matter. Everybody that comes into the household of Abraham, physically or spiritually, you see, with given circumstances, must be a part of the same condition and obey the same law. And ultimately, Ishmael is going to be made, and Esau, and everybody else, to obey the same law that Abraham obeyed. There aren't going to be any differences there, or divisions. And there aren't going to be any different religions. Now, you know, temporarily, obviously, it's not happening yet. So partially, there is an obedience there, to a degree. And so he said, I will bring 12 princes, you know, he's going to have 12 princes, that means 12 princes, that means they're going to have 12 nations. And that's how they began. And I will make him a great nation. So you see how God is involved with anybody who is going to be willing to be obedient. And even in the Jewish community to this very day, they realize that that special blessing that Ishmael received because he was circumcised, you see, and how much that circumcision availed to him. It's not just a physical act, it's the willingness to come under that. And all of his descendants, and to this very day, they're all being circumcised. Of course, they do it at the wrong time, because they thought their father was a 13, all of them must be 13. Well, this isn't what God said. But you see their willingness to do that, and to go through that to this very day. And for that, there is a measure of blessing. And so they're not totally cut off from the covenant of Abraham, the overall covenant. And so it says in verse 21, but my covenant, you know, the specific one, I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. And so God left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So now we understand, verse 22, that God literally was standing there before him and talking to him in person. And when he finished, he just went up, as he had done many times before, and he had done it with many other servants. And so Elohim went up from Abraham, and Abraham took Ishmael. You see, what was the first thing Abraham is going to do? You know, sit around and start reasoning about it. Well, I'm old, you know, God should understand, you know, I cannot really do it, you know, it really didn't mean me, and things like that. Of course not. Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house. Every single one of them. You see? They didn't argue about it. And they said, hey, we're not your sons. We didn't come out of your own body. You see? Every single one of them. They were all obedient. And that's what happens when people are obedient. They don't reason around. They don't argue. They don't play games with the law of God. They don't say, well, how about this and how about that? You see? They just do it. And that's why in the beginning of the chapter, this is the first condition that God gave him. I am God, I am Almighty, therefore you be wholehearted with me. Don't play games with me. Go all the way. And the only people who are going to be in that covenant, in that faith, in that ultimate destiny are the people who develop that kind of a heart, wholehearted with God, not playing games with God, and that too many, and have been in the past many generations, or of that mind. Always playing games with God and His Word and His law. That's why they come up with this reasoning. Well, I'm spiritual. I don't need to do this. And I don't need to do that. And I don't need to do the other thing. God is not interested in this kind of people. And that's what the circumcision is all about. Willingness to be wholehearted with God. And that's why it is. It's extremely important with Him. Though it is just a physical one, it's indicative of the Spirit. Indicative that your heart is going to be circumcised all the way. And so Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every single one of them, no exceptions, every male among the men of Abraham's house. And he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God has said unto him. Period. No if, yes, and buts. You see? And that was going to be the precedence for all those who will come into the covenant of Abraham, into the commonwealth of Israel, who won the promises that were given to Abraham. See? God doesn't make any difference. And when He removed the partition between the Jew and the Gentile, between Israel and the non-Israelites, between the physical children of Abraham and the non-physical children of Abraham, it was not so they can get away with whatever they want to. You see, it was so that all of them can be fully, full-hearted and do everything that Abraham did. And do everything that God commanded Abraham and all of his descendants in all their generations and not argue about it. Now, then there are circumstances and time questions and things like that. Well, that's a different issue. But the circumcision, that's something altogether different, and the two should not be mixed together. And so Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old. See, no arguments about it, how old you are. It doesn't make any difference how old you are, how painful it is. It was painful for Father Abraham. He was willing to do it. Look what human beings are willing to do for a gold medal, the Olympics, something that perishes. And yet when God offers you eternity, divinity, and you say, well, that's too much of a price to pay. Well, people are of that attitude. Something between them and God, anyway. In verse 25, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In verse 26, in the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised. So he's repeating that in the selfsame day. He wasn't playing games. He was wholehearted. And all those who were in his household were all wholehearted. And this was a part of righteousness also on the part of Ishmael, 13. He didn't run away. He didn't go into the desert. He didn't say, oh, no, it's not for me. He did it. You see? And to him also God counted it as righteousness. And to the point, to the degree, and to the day, where it is even today, the children of Ishmael do circumcise, God counts it to them for righteousness, even though they may have other problems. And so everything that the children of Israel do that is right, well, to this very day they are being rewarded for it. And when we do wrong, we are being rewarded for it too. And so in verse 27 we read again, "And all the men of his house, those born in the house, and those bought with money of a foreigner, were circumcised with him." You see? Period. And basically we can say that this is, in essence, is the capstone of the statement of the beginning of the chapter, where God makes it very plain. "I am Almighty, walk before me, and do it wholeheartedly. Be you perfect." And Abraham was, and his descendants must be. And God is not going to demand something from Abraham and say, "You do it when you are 99, and as for your descendants, well, they can get away with it." You see? If we are to be a part of the commonwealth of Israel, of the faithful of the house of Abraham, and receive the promises given to him, you see, and only those who follow in his footsteps, as it said later on about one of his sons, the son, the ultimate son, that one, the one that was just talking to him now and gave him that very covenant of circumcision, the one that became Jesus Christ. You see? He too went through that. And the scripture makes it very plain that he was circumcised when he was 8 days old. And he was not about to compromise with that. And he's the one that is giving him this promises and covenants, and himself went through it. And as he came to be baptized, John the Baptist said, "Hey, I'm the one supposed to be baptized by you, and you can't be baptized by me." And he said, "Well, suffer it, allow it, because we must fulfill all righteousness." So, he doesn't get away with it. And what makes us think that we should get away with that? And that's why he told us very plainly, and that's why his disciples told us very plainly, that he who believes in him must also walk as he walked. Was he circumcised? Of course he was. Did he keep the Sabbath? Of course he did. Did he keep the holidays? He did. Did he keep all righteousness? Of course he did. Did he say, "Don't think I came to destroy the law or do away with the law and all the prophets"? Of course he did. So what justification do we have? You see? People use misunderstanding of the scriptures, especially writings of the Apostle Paul or even the other apostles, and think, "Well, that's not for us." Well, if that's not for us, then you have another God. It's not the God of Abraham. And therefore you're going to have to receive promises from that non-existent God and be part of the covenant. Well, God doesn't play this kind of games with anybody. And so he made it very plain. And it was under this condition that later on, as the Apostle will talk about it, Apostle Paul in specific, to the Galatians, to the Romans, different places, when he spoke about Abraham, that became the seal of his righteousness. He was wholehearted. He was willing to do it all. And then everybody, as he's giving it as an example, everybody who's going to be a part of the faith of Abraham must be doing it too. Now, Abraham to begin with was righteous. And then he was circumcised. And then for the people who are going to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, they're going to study the law, understand the importance of it, and when they are moved by the Spirit of God, when the time comes, they do it too. It's not up to men. This is not the purpose of this series, or this teaching about the circumcision, to tell everybody, "Well, you better go circumcise or else." Well, that's between you and God. The obligation is to teach what the Word of God is, what the will of God is, what the truth of God is. And then it's between us and God to do whatever we learn. And, as I said, the timing already had several precedents. The timing that became an issue. Not the circumcision itself. As for the heart, God demands everyone, male and female, to be circumcised. But as for the flesh, God demands it from the male on the eighth day. If they were born into the faith to a family that is already doing it, and if they were not, well, it's a question of timing when God moves that person or the other person to do it. That's between men and God. And the purpose of this teaching is to explain what the doctrine is all about and the purpose of it and the meaning of it. And then the rest is between everyone and his creator. And God made it very plain. That's the way it's going to be. That in the household of Abraham, in the nation later on of Abraham, in the land of the Lord that he called, you know, the land of the Lord, Israel, became known as the land of the Lord, God is not interested in anybody who is uncircumcised, he said. And so when they came into the land later on, we read, this is what Moses told them. In Deuteronomy, you read in chapter 20, he tells them how to deal with the nations that are going to be in the land, or around the land. He begins with the people that are around the land of Israel. And he's telling them in chapter 20, verse 1, that when you go forth to battle against your enemies, you see, and he's speaking about people outside of the land of Israel. He's not speaking about those in the land of Israel, as he shall make more plain later on. And so let's continue with the story. When you go to war, and then he's making plain who that people are, in verse 13, well, actually, in verse 10, he says, well, the first thing that you do when you go to war against enemies, you're going, in verse 10, when you draw nigh unto the city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. And it shall be, if they make an answer of peace and open unto you, then it shall be that all the people that are found therein will become tributary unto you, and shall serve you. So they're going to become your servants. But if it will make no peace with you, but will make war against you, then you shall besiege it, and when the Eternal, your God, delivers it unto your hand, because God is involved in the process, you shall smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. You see, they are all the uncircumcised. And even the enemies all around you, far away, not necessarily where you are, they are going to have to pay that penalty. Or they are being uncircumcised. Of course, it wasn't their fault. They were not uncircumcised. They never knew anything about the law of God. But God showed how he felt about that. You see? And that's going to be the fate of the uncircumcised. And so, later on, that idea developed, and you can see throughout the scriptures, about the uncircumcised. And that's what they meant by that. You know, the people who are disobedient to the law of God, who would not come to God, who are not willing to make peace with the people of God, who are not willing to live according to the ways of God, you see? And so the terminology of the uncircumcised became not only a statement of fact in terms of the physical uncircumcision, but it became more of a metaphor to all those who are disobedient to the law of God, who do not walk with God. And so God says, you cut them off. Because ultimately, this is what God himself is going to do with anybody who is not willing to walk according to the laws of God. And so he says, but for the women, verse 14, and the little ones, and the cattle, and all that is in the city, well, they have a different fate. You take them to yourself. But obviously, the little boys among them are going to be circumcised. They're going to be raised in the household of Israel. And so this is what you say. He said, this is what you do to your enemies. And verse 15, he says, thus shall you do unto all the cities which are very far off from you. So they're not a part of the land. You see, they're not a part of the promised land of Canaan that God gave to the children of Israel. They're faraway places, you know, that happened to go to war against Israel. Maybe they came against them, or maybe Israel went against them, whatever it may be. This is what you do to them. But, in contrast, verse 16, how be it of the cities of this people that the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance, you shall save alive nothing that breathes. You see? Total decimation. And that's ultimately what God says is going to be the fate of all those who are going to be disobedient to God. They're going to be totally decimated. And so the circumcision became the symbolic of that, of the disobedient. Even Israel, who were circumcised in the flesh, when they became disobedient, they too became known as the uncircumcised. That is in the heart, obviously. And so God made it very plain. And he gave us an example when he came in the flesh. The scripture makes it very plain that when he was 8 days old, his parents had him circumcised. And then they brought him to the temple and brought in offerings. You see, he was not disobedient to that very law that he gave to Abraham. He was himself the one that instituted the ceremony with the instructions, obviously, that were given from the Almighty God, that is the Most High, the one that became his father. He was not about to change that. And so the apostles made it very plain, as Christ made it very plain. Don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, and that was a major part of the law. This is the entrance to the covenant. This is the condition. This becomes the seal of righteousness. Don't think that I came to do away with that. So you have to understand what is it that was really happening there in the so-called the circumcision chapter or the circumcision issue in the New Testament. If you don't have the whole background, you don't understand what is really happening. That was a time of a matter of timing issue, not the circumcision itself that was the issue. You see? And so it was made very plain. And so Christ made it very plain. If you love me, you keep my commandments. This is one of them. You see? This is the entrance commandment, so to speak, for those who are 8 days old. And for those who are later on, well, they're righteous. Therefore, they're going to be willing to do it. And the apostles made it very plain. John made it very plain. Apostle of love. People love to read, but don't listen to what he's saying there. That those who claim to be followers of Christ, believers in Christ, those who call themselves, you know, by the name of the Lord, they must also walk as He walked. You see, and from days eight, you know, so to speak, He walked in the ways of God. And when He came before John to be baptized, you know, John said, well, you know, you don't need to be baptized. You know, I'm the one who should be baptized by you. He said, well, suffer it. Let me be baptized so that all righteousness may be fulfilled in us. So he didn't say, well, that's not for me. I'm spiritual, you see. I have the Holy Spirit from birth. I don't need to be circumcised, or I don't need to be baptized, or I don't need to keep the Sabbath, or I don't need to do this and that. Well, anyway, we're going to stop here. This is again Mordecai Joseph saying greetings to all of God's people.